You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Richie Castellano. I want to thank you for listening to the first episode of the Band Geek podcast. I'm very excited about this. We recorded this one back at the end of March, so it's been a while, and we have a bunch of great episodes lined up after this. I want to take this time to thank Rob Sprantz from the Riotcast Networks for mentoring me through this process and helping me get set up. I hope you like it. If you have any questions or comments or song requests, hit me up on Facebook or on Twitter at Rich_Castellano. So hope you enjoy the show. Hello, I'm Richie Castellano. Welcome to the Band Geek Podcast. I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
Start over.
I can't speak while I'm playing.
So. I can't speak while you're playing either, apparently. I have to fart, actually, but Brandy's here, so I can't do that now.
Why?
Oh, is that why you said we get soda?
All right, let's try this again.
No. Hey, I'm Richie Castellano. Welcome to the Band Geek Podcast. On bass, we got my cousin Phil Castellano. On drums, Andy Ascalise. On vocals, we have Anne-Marie Castellano. And on lead vocals, we have Jarrett Pressman. You ready, man?
Bonjour, y'all.
Let's do this. Nice job, man.
So now my lungs hurt.
That's a really fun song to play. I mean, that's got like two bars that loop pretty much, right? Like,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
That makes it easier for you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, oh, it didn't stop me from screwing up, but yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, when you're doing, and then you have to sing, your love keeps lifting. It's like, you know, that's kind of tough to do.
I'm still convinced that your love keeps lifting. That just sounds like the little Chinese butterflies from the Godzilla movies.
What?
You must stop a Mothra. Oh, you must find the gem.
We're starting this already.
It's in a movie.
Yeah. Anyway, this
if
is
it's a movie, it's not racist.
So, anyways, this is. I know you love when I do that.
Any hoodle.
So, anywho, this is the first episode of the Band Geek podcast, and obviously, this is a new thing because this is the first episode. And yeah, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts on the way to work, and of course, being an egomaniac, I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And I'm learning that that's actually a lot harder than it seems listening to other people
well,
do it.
Well, you've been a guest on the podcast a couple of times.
Right. I was on The Hole, which is a very classy program.
Three times.
What type of hole?
It used to be called The Glory Hole, but now
it's just called The Hole.
Yeah, because they classed up the joint a little bit.
Holes breed classic.
That word, I don't think it means what you think it means.
No, it's a Riot Cast podcast, and we have a lot of fun doing that. I mean, I didn't think I could do a show like that because those guys are actually funny. I mean, I'm not very funny. I know a lot about music, so I'm going to do a music show. But it's called Band Geek because, like, music has, I mean, definitely has the two sides of the brain thing happening. Which one's the analytical side? They say that's like the right side. Is that how that goes?
Yeah, sure.
Brandy's back there. Brandy Metaxas.
She's the scientist.
She's a scientist.
I think the right,
that's Andy's
yeah,
wife.
Right brain is creativity,
left-handed
right?
Left-handed people are more creative because they use the right side of brain.
To masturbate. Okay. Yes.
I'm left-handed. Do both of those things.
Ambidextrous.
So right brain is like analytical, yes. And left.
No. Left brain is analytical, but right-handed people use it.
Oh, okay.
Whatever side of the fucking brain that is creative.
Okay. Well,
right,
anyway,
right,
my point is, there's a lot of people think, you know, music is all about, you know, it's feeling, it's creativity, and it is, and that's true, but it's also the other side of the brain because there's a lot of science and math, and there's like a big whole like geeky layer to it, and musicians are kind of required to be geeks in some way because it's very technical, from, you know, nuts and bolts of theory and all the way to gear, because, you know, we can go nuts talking about gear and hooking things up, so that's where it comes from. But also, it's sort of a double meaning because a lot of musicians I meet are also very passionate about things that they don't want their fans to know about. And I'm here to uncover those dirty secrets.
Right now, the hard-hitting facts.
Yeah.
It's uncool, guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
Basically. We all have them.
I mean, I'm on Facebook, and I like Facebook, and I'm on it a lot. Just ask Anne-Marie. I grunt in disapproval. And I will post things about like Batman and Star Wars, and then I have a lot of BOC fans on there, and they're like, man, you play with one of the best like classic rock bands in history. Why are you watching Star Wars? Like, because it's cool and I like that. So,
but there's an association to it. It humanizes you, which is, it's like, oh, I've seen you play in front of 2,000 people, but you care about the Batman costume? I care about the Batman
I care very
costume.
Much about the Batman costume.
I think that's a massive understatement.
But even
you
our
own a Batman costume? I own a Batman costume.
So I think this podcast is going to be like a balancing act between like fanboy stuff and real tech music nerd stuff. And I think our first choice of a song is a good indication of that, because the reason we chose that song is because it's from Ghostbusters 2.
Yes.
And Harold Ramis just passed away, and so that was our tribute to him.
Yeah.
And actually, Jarrett, who is my co-host, Jarrett Pressman is here, and he's here because he's actually funny, and now he's not going to be funny for the next hour.
Of course.
Because I just put you on the spot, and I said you have to be funny.
Tell me something funny.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Yeah. Make me laugh. But you met him.
I did. I lived in Chicago for about 5 years and worked at Second City, and I was stage managing there, and I took classes, and I also worked in the night staff, and I worked with the touring companies a lot, and because a lot of Second City alumni would come back, because Chicago is such a comedy breeding ground, I did meet him and a lot of other people that like I idolized growing up. So also, Ghostbusters, if you ask somebody, like, well, what's your favorite movie? Like, I don't know. Immediately out of my mouth is Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when he passed away, it was I was like, geez. Because he, I mean, so many classic, he did Ghostbusters and Stripes and Caddyshack and Baby Boom and
Groundhog's Day.
Oh, God, Groundhog's Day is such a good movie. So, it, you know, it was it, a lot of things in those movies, even in comedies, that people don't realize is that when you do them, you don't have like, oh, this is going to be playing over this song, you know, this scene, mm-hmm. you know, this music's going to be playing over this scene. You know, they have like, they either have some kind of a temp track sometimes, or sometimes they just don't know when it's done in post later. So like the first Ghostbusters movie, I actually have a copy of it. There's the Elmer Bernstein score that doesn't use any of like the popular music.
Really?
And it's awful. It's great, but it's like awful. But in Ghostbusters 2, I obviously, because they made a whole scene about it with the toaster and the
right.
Statue of Liberty.
I love
like
that scene.
It's a good Jackie Wilson song regardless.
It is. And musically, it's a lot of fun to play because it's three chords, you know, and if you're playing along, I mean, that's kind of my hope for this podcast. I mean, a lot of people listen to it on the way to work or in a plane or in a car. But if you're actually listening to this at home or you're at your computer, and if you want to jam, like, here's the chords. It's just, it's D. Oops, sorry, I got a little echo on it. So it's D, G, E minor, D. It's that easy.
And now rewind the podcast.
Yeah, rewind.
And now you can jam.
And you can jam along. Maybe I should have said that before. No, but that would have been awkward, you know?
We could do it like a Choose Your Own Adventure book. It's like, yeah. When you hear the chimes, turn the page.
So, and what were you playing on that, Phil?
Me? I was just doing a little, How'd you explain that?
A bass line.
Bass ostinato.
Wait, but no, what happened before? You were playing it at one part of the guitar and then playing it another guitar, and it gave it like a way better.
Play this by the bridge.
Yeah.
Gives you a little different tone.
You can't help but say
yeah,
and
you
stuff
play
like
it
that
up
like
here,
a douchebag.
You want to play it by the neck, you kind of get this kind of sound. I don't really like that, so I kind of bring it down here.
Phil is my cousin, so that's why he's here. No other reason. No, he's very talented, and he's very talented, and he goes to music college.
We're not going to say what music college.
Should we not say that? Are we leaving these things secret?
Matt, whatever you want. You know,
let's leave an air of secrecy around where we work and attend school.
Okay.
Now.
Phil goes to a music college. And he studies. What do you learn over there?
In the New York City.
Don't worry about it.
Theory.
What classes are you taking?
No, I'm taking like music theory, musicianship, music history.
Everything
class.
You say sounds jerky. What's wrong?
Yeah, I don't know how to do not jerky. That's who I am a douche. Okay, I'm a douche. I'm a walking douche.
Take some music theory.
What does a douche say? Hey, I'm Phil Castellano. That's what the douche says.
Wait. So okay.
I like to think that music college is just a bunch of instruments, like a Pixar movie, going to actual.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
The guitars hang. The strings don't hang out with the woodwinds.
Yeah. Actually, though, the strings don't hang out with the woodwinds.
The tuba has like a farting problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to sit next to him on the bus. In another year and a half, there's going to be a Pixar movie about this.
Of course.
Wait, did you see that YouTube video with what you sent to me? Was it you?
Probably me.
Someone with like a trombone followed around like heavy people.
No, I did that.
I sent that to you.
Isn't that a Family Guy thing?
Did I send that to you?
No, I sent it to you and you sent it to him, I think.
Whatever.
The circle of life, Philip.
That's so messed up.
But it was horrible. No, it was a baritone sax.
That makes it so much worse.
They were in like a ShopRite, isn't
no,
they?
No, no, I think a trombone or a tuba would have been worse because that's a giant instrument.
It's a baritone sax is pretty big.
Yeah, but not like a trombone just invades your space.
Yeah, but I don't think it's probably really hard to walk and play that.
People do it.
Other people do it. I mean,
marching band.
Part of the reason I'm calling this band geek is because three of us were actual marching band geeks. I played guitar in marching band.
Well, this.
I'm not going to go into that. I played. All right. Basically, I had those little Marshall MicroStack things. I strapped on my back and I had played this like really cock rock flying V with pink and yellow stripes. I played that. Then
that's
I moved
so
over
metal.
To bass drum and then bells. Because that's very manly.
What
did you play, Jarrett, in the marching band?
I played percussion. When you start out in the percussion for marching band, they give you the cymbals. And then I moved up to bass drum, and then I moved up to snare. And then I did the quads occasionally, like if I had to fill in.
In our band, awesome. You started with the bass drum because no one else wanted to hold it. They're like, oh, let the idiot freshman hold the bass drum. What'd you do, Andy?
I started with bells, and then I went to tri-toms. We weren't as cool.
Oh, I'm sorry. We had an extra drum.
To have quads.
You had more funding than us.
Yeah.
You were able to get one more tom. Yeah.
We had tri-toms, and then...
it makes late in the it makes all the difference when you play late in the evening walking down Fifth Avenue.
And then I moved to snare.
Hearing your marching band stories makes me really wish I was in marching band.
No, you don't. You don't. The only thing good about it was you got out of the gym.
I had dance gym and yoga gym. That was way cooler.
Wait, okay.
Why do you say gym after that?
Why? Yeah, that's. I was just gonna say that. Okay. It's called yoga and dance. It's not yoga gym and dance gym.
No, it's called yoga gym on my report card, so it's yoga gym.
We were in marching band gym.
I was in lunch gym.
Phil took a second. Period I took lunch, of lunch gym instead of taking. I have to give a little background on this. My cousin Phil is probably the thinnest man in my family. He's actually got Phil, you got a nice physique, I'll say.
I do.
And I'm comfortable saying that.
What does the douche say?
I'm Phil Castellano. That's what he says.
And
I have a nice physique.
And he eats like it's his last day on the planet every day.
I do. Because you never know. It can be our last day, man. You never know.
Wait, can we clarify?
Yeah. He eats like it's a fat man's
last day on the planet. Because some people be like, my last day on Earth, I'd like to have like a nice piece of fish and some... Blah, blah, blah. He eats like it's the last day on Earth and there is only Sonic and Wendy's.
He eats more than anybody I've ever seen, and he
on
is
his
probably,
way to get a burrito,
the thinnest man
he'll stop
in my family.
At Wendy's.
If you're friends with Phil on the Facebook, every other post is Sonic.
I went to Sonic
at least once a day. At least once a day.
Oh my God.
Let it be known that where we live, there is no Sonic.
Right, exactly.
I crossed a bridge three times a week for Sonic.
He pays a toll.
The only place you go eat are places that stuff foods inside of other foods.
That's true. That's actually very true. I do that.
I'm sorry. What's stuffed in that chicken? Then I don't want it.
Forget it. I go to the sandwich place in Jersey, and they make, like, you know, sandwiches like chicken fingers, mozzarella sticks, french fries,
like, do you go
sauce,
to the sandwich great. Place in Jersey when you're in Jersey, or do you
no,
just,
I go
like,
there
wake
for
up?
The sandwich place.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that for the listeners.
You remember the Saturday Night Live skit? They had the fake commercial where it's like, oh, we start with the taco, and then we had another taco, yes. And then we had a pizza. That's what Phil eats.
You're eating cheesy blasters.
I take a sandwich, and I roll my pizza. I roll the pizza up.
I've seen it.
In like a pizza joint.
You take you take a hot dog, stuff it with some jack cheese, roll it in a pizza.
I don't know if
I'm.
You got cheesy blasters. Out or hungry right now.
I think it was Sonic where it was just like KFC did the thing where instead of bread they used pieces of chicken, like for a while ago.
Yeah, that's gross for me.
I think KFC did that.
But then I think it was Sonic that like they made a hamburger and each bun was a grilled cheese sandwich.
That's like up there with the Hellman's mayonnaise chicken.
We could or the mayonnaise cake.
The heart attack.
Let's make this a food podcast because I feel like we have more to say about it.
I feel like food is very important to musicians. You know, it's like
yeah.
You know,
Pizza's
I feel like most
of
the people listening
to
this podcast
are
just reaching in their cup holder, grabbing tater tots.
Yeah, I have to move this along right now because we'll talk about food for the next hour.
What are we eating for dinner, guys?
I don't know. You said you're not eating dinner with us. You have to go play Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, whoa!
Oh, did I just out you?
Whoa! I play Dungeons and Dragons.
That's why.
Who has not ever played Dungeons and Dragons? Who has not played Dungeons and Dragons?
We've all played it. Oh, Brandy hasn't played it?
I don't think Brandy has played it.
All right.
She's
getting me
that.
Another drink.
Andy played.
She knows what it is.
A little bit.
I was horrible at it.
No, but you're cool now. Before you thought you were cool, I'm sorry. The only difference now is that you think you're cool. Nothing's really changed, I can tell you.
But it's like in Freaks and Geeks, like when the cool guy plays Dungeons and Dragons.
He did it totally the opposite. He just decided I'm not going to play anymore. Andy plays like 75 instruments. What do you play, Andy? Give us the list.
I started playing drums, I guess, and then I learned piano, and my dad played bass, so I picked up the bass, and then my friends played guitar, so I picked up the guitar and kind of learned from my friends, and that's about it. I have an accordion at home.
Did you say keyboard? I don't think
said
keyboard.
I said piano.
You did?
Yeah,
oh, piano.
I heard it. I learned piano when I was like in kindergarten. I started studying piano, and then before high school, like the year before high school, I was studying like jazz keyboards, and then I met Richie Castellano in high school.
You know what's cool? You still play on like a kindergarten level, pretty much. Andy's wedding was in October, and I was the best man, and I had to give a speech. And I want to recall my favorite joke from the speech. I said, because I met Andy when I was 15, and I said, Andy, I remember when I met you when we were 15, and you played this awesome Chicoria lick, and now that you're 32, you still play the same lick, get a new lick.
No one's noticed. No, it's because you were so proficient at the beginning that it didn't matter that years later.
I plateaued at 15 years old.
Andy and I worked together in Blue Oyster Cult. If you don't know who Andy is, Andy has played on stage with me. He filled in for Kasim on bass, and he's filled in for me several times, and he's going to be filling in for me. I'm going away for my honeymoon at the end of April. So if you have tickets to any Blue Oyster Cult show at the end of April, you could probably call and get your money back.
Because Andy's going to be there.
Because it's, you know, it's not going to be as good. No, it's going to be awesome, and you're in for a real treat. And Andy's going to kill this. But also, Andy, when he's not playing, he is on our crew, and he is Buck Dharma's tech, which is very challenging.
That's pretty geeky.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty cool.
We got to have him on the show, and we could spend 45 minutes talking about the signal flow from his guitar to a speaker.
It's Buck Dharma has a very distinct sound, and according to Eric Bloom, it doesn't matter what's going through there because he's had the same sound since 1968. But every week,
it's a great sound. Why
every week, it? You know, Buck loves gear, and every week he's always trying out new pedals. He's always trying out new things, and it's pretty cool that I get to see all the gear that he brings out. And
I think the tone is probably mostly in his fingers.
Yeah.
Because he can plug into anything and sound like him. That's
it's got to be a lot of work for you, though, for his tech. Because, I mean, I've seen you guys play, like, a bunch with BLC. And I know that during when you guys do Don't Fear the Reaper at the end, and he's playing his guitar and he does his really long solo, he holds the guitar by, like, the whammy bar. And I'm like, even not as a musician, even not as a guitarist, I'm like, that's not where you're supposed to hold. Like, you shouldn't be holding it there for that long.
Well, that guitar, the Steinberger cheeseburger guitar, that's
a one-of-a-kind guitar.
And it looks like it's falling apart.
Yeah, there's no other guitar like that. I think he's had it since the late 80s, I think.
That sounds right.
Did he?
We got to get him on here and have him explain all this stuff.
Is that a guitar that he had made for himself? Because I know like there's a lot of musicians that like companies will just be like, here's a guitar.
Yeah, I think he was, he's had a bunch of Steinberger guitars, and they made that one specifically for him with the specs he wanted.
That's awesome.
I got to play it once because I filled in for him on a gig. He missed a flight. Or his flight got canceled or something, and I had to be Buck Dharma for a gig. And I mean, I had my guitar with me, so I played mine, but I played his for Reaper because I don't know if you know this. When we play Don't Fear the Reaper, we tune up live. We tune up a whole step. So instead of being like, you know, we do it. What, you're going to tune? Oh, yeah. <It's> Andy is putting his finger on my.
What a great
guitar.
Tech. Somebody take a picture of this. This is wonderful.
So it sounds like that. He's giving me a human capo. Thank you, Andy. That's what he does for Buck every night. He runs out on stage and he holds his finger there.
He uses his tongue for that, though.
Sometimes it's his pointer, sometimes it's his middle.
Yeah, so that's the cool thing about that Steinberger Trans-Trem guitar is you could actually tune the guitar up and it'll hold. Well, you're supposed to be able to lock it in. Do you do it that way?
Yeah, I do. The Trans-Trem is like a brilliant invention by Steinberger. And if you actually look at all the crazy things that Steinberger has done to guitars, it's really pretty amazing. Like they started with the dual ball system with no tuning pegs and all that stuff. And the Trans-Trem, they just look weird. And that's the problem. But as far as like technology in guitar making, it's like everything they do is really amazing. They have that pot that's a full open pot.
Oh, I want to get that on one of my guitars, but I think I'm not like manly enough to use that. Like,
all right, I have a question coming from somebody who doesn't know much about guitar parts. Okay, do all Steinbergers not have a headstock?
That's correct.
I've never seen one. Do they not have the headstock because of this Trans-Trem thing?
They do not have the headstock for, yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Does that help?
It's a very...
Is it like a leverage thing?
It's a different way of thinking about guitars and
It's because the headstock.
It's good.
It's because the headstock costs more to put on a guitar, yeah. And Steinbergers
it's
don't
want
to spend.
That's what it is.
Jewish guitars don't want to spend the extra money to.
Oh God! Get a headstock. Did you put something in here?
No.
You just, Brandy just handed me a open
an
can
open
of Mountain
can.
Dew.
Never take an open can from Brandy.
And I have to smell it.
What does vodka smell like?
I'd like to add a...
We're recording this. You can't open it. You'll hear it. Yeah. You know, you have to open it over there.
I can't hear this, but I'm squinting really hard at Brandy right now, suspiciously.
I'd like to add...
For those of you that don't know, if Richie looks at a can of beer or opens a bottle of vodka, he will be drunk.
Oh God,
I can't
hold my
liquor.
I'm gonna out you. I won't tell details, but your bachelor party last year, you were so drunk.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was amazing.
That was the best.
You were so drunk. It was the most amazing. Speaking of geeks, okay.
You're a man now.
I'll tell just slight details. We had a party bus full of, what, 15 guys? 10
dorks.
15 guys?
But 15
all,
dorks and Sifu Charles.
All our friends, you know, nerds, musicians, you know, all pretty much all our close friends. And, like, driving down the BQE, like, going into the city, blasting Katy Perry, blasting what else were we, Genesis, Batman, Hans Zimmer
Asia.
Music.
Asia. Normally here at a bachelor party.
Oh, God. And like, just, and fucking dancing and singing on the bus. Like, you'd think we were like a
bridal... Let's play a Katy Perry song right now.
We were a bridal party without the sashes and penis hats. Like, that's...
Oh, we were a bachelorette party.
We were a bachelorette party. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Let's play a Katy Perry song.
The most eligible bachelorette.
Phil, what Katy Perry songs can you...
How hard could they be? What do you mean?
Don't say that. You love Katy Perry.
I love Katy Perry, but how hard could they
no,
be?
No, he's got to live up to the persona now. Now
he's
got to
be an asshole.
What yeah. does the douche say?
How hard could they be?
I'm going to get the lyrics.
It's pretty cool.
I have all the lyrics on an iPad, I guess. And it's totally a crutch because I know these lyrics, but...
What are we doing?
No. Make them up. Don't look them up.
Okay, let's do firework.
Yes.
What?
There's signals. All right.
Here's the chords of firework. So if you're at home and you want to play along to firework,
nice. Or if you're me, you want to play along,
or if you're Phil, and
because
you,
most because,
and you can retain two songs at any given time in your memory.
Because most guitar players at home say, "Do you know what? I really wish I could play that Katy Perry song on guitar that has no guitar."
And then they
on
show
it.
Up at their cousin's Sweet 16 and like, "God damn, I wish I knew that friggin' Katy Perry song."
Hey, when we're done, because right now we have, you know, Andy on drums, and I want to say something. Andy's doing a really good job. He's playing the electronic drums right now.
From 1993.
Yeah, the Roland V drums, and I got to thank my friend Ray Magnuski because he gave those to me as a gift, so thank you, Ray. and those aren't exactly as responsive as real drums, so he's working hard here, so thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. And my
neighbors,
thank you. Because right now we're actually in my studio, like the one you see in the split screen video.
Right, I was just going to say, you've seen these drums.
Yes.
If you've seen...
As seen on YouTube.
On YouTube.
YouTube sensation Richie Castellano's electronic drum kit.
So he's playing on that, and Phil's playing bass. And I would really love to have a keyboard player, but we couldn't get one today. So, Andy, when we're done with this, can you overdub keyboards, please?
Sure.
Yeah. So you're going to be hearing keyboards. It's no one in the room... We thought about trying to have Muff pretend to be a keyboard player, but it was sort of racist.
Why
the voice he came up with? So
why?
we're gonna nix that for now.
Why did you ask Andy to overdub the keyboards? Why can't I overdub the keyboards?
You can, later. And then I'll use Andy's track.
Okay, because it's just any song that I play would just be Cold as Ice.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I know how to play, and the riff from Middle of Time Sawyer.
Okay, so the chords to Firework, the great composition from Kay Perry, is A flat.
Don't act like you don't love her.
Oh, no.
So
Perry.
The verses go A flat, G flat, F minor, D flat, sus 2, I'm out of tune. So that repeats a bunch of times. And then the chorus, it switches to A flat, B flat minor, and then F minor. And then back to the D flat. Damn, my guitar does not want to stay.
The old 1-2-6.
Is that an old thing? The old 1-2-6.
My phone number. No, anyway.
Oh! That's my luggage.
Wait, so what's the first chord again?
I just told them to you. Hold on, it's.
Come on, music college. Let's go.
That's A flat, G flat, F minor, D flat, and I'm playing a sus two. Because you got to do those Katy Perry songs. A lot of those pop songs have the open like root and the third up an octave, like tenths, I guess you call them. Like the
they were written by bass players.
Uh-oh. Which is like, I don't know why it's so freaking hard to play on guitar. Maybe I'll try to play it.
That's the thing now, though. Pop music to do that thing.
But, yep. Wait, I gotta play this correctly. I can't let Katie down.
If you're listening, Katie.
Yeah. We love you. Okay, let's try it again. Sorry. Here we go. I got it now. All right,
this is called figuring out a song.
No, I got it. I'm just gonna cheat.
I assume that you're singing this, Richie.
Oh, you don't want to sing this?
I'll split.
If you want me to sing this,
I actually don't want you to sing this. I want to sing this.
I have a feeling.
I think it's the other one.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, only to start again? Some paper fans, like a house of cards, one both from caving in. Do you ever feel so buried deep? 6 feet on the screens and no one seems to hear a thing. Do you know that there's still a chance for you? Cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta deny the light and let it shine. I'm out of breath. I can't do that anymore. That was good.
I did those ups.
Oh, that was you? I thought something was broken.
I thought it was broken, too, and then I realized he was playing the kazoo.
You know, yeah.
Because kazoo sounds like broken
Jared's
things.
Playing kazoo right now. I mean, Jared's, a musician.
I'm half a musician.
I use that term lightly.
What no, does he's a
musician. You play, but you play drums and you play trumpet.
I play drums
and you
play trumpet.
Really great.
I mean, I have a degree in musical theater. I just can't read music. And I don't.
You don't really have to in musical theater. You just have to play connect the dots. You have to know, oh, it's going up, so I sing up, and it's going down, so I sing down.
No, and I can.
Well,
and
you
I
have to listen to
Anne-Marie
on this
good.
Because Anne-Marie, that's what I haven't talked about Anne-Marie. I'm sorry. Anne-Marie is a music teacher. Well, Anne-Marie's an awesome singer. She sings everything, jazz, metal, opera. If you want to hear Anne-Marie, please listen to the Morning Starlet album. It's available on...
Which is a jazz, metal, opera.
It's jazz, metal, opera album. It's available on iTunes and Amazon, all that stuff. And that's a band that me, Anne-Marie, and Andy have. And Anne-Marie is a fantastic singer. And she's also a music teacher and choir director. So continue what you were saying about the dots.
Well,
musical theater dots.
You know, for example, I'll test my chorus and be like, okay, you guys can totally read music, right? If you know where this one note is, you know, G clef, it's an all-girls choir, so, you know, they're all singing in treble clef. So, okay, that second line, it's always G. So what's that next line? Crickets.
H.
Crickets.
H?
Crickets
H.
Everywhere.
Am I right?
So,
you're right. That's right.
Yes, the H note. The H note's a great note. But anyway...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, for those, I tell them all, though, you know, even if they don't grasp the theory I try to lob at them, I tell them, pretend like you're connecting the dots. When it goes up, your voice goes up. When it goes down, your
you
voice
should do
goes
a
down.
YouTube video on that.
What?
Just how to do that, because
well, like,
I would
watch,
like to see that.
You ever watch one
like
of those pop singers sing, like, any one of them, and it's like, they're like, hey, yeah, and then, like, their hand goes up and down, and they're trying to map the notes in their head. That's how I see it.
I thought that was just what professionals do.
But they also put
their
finger
in
your
ear.
Yeah.
And then your hand goes up and down. Well, the finger in the ear, I do this during the podcast, actually. It helps a lot because you can hear your own voice in your head.
Anne-Marie just kind of made fun of pop singers better than they would do it. But making fun of them?
I want to, one of the things I want to do with the show also is make it kind of interactive. So I want to take some Facebook requests. And
what do you, the viewers at home, want to hear?
There's a request! There's a request! There's a request!
That's a really great theme song written by Andy Eskelis.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry, it was composed.
Composed. Oh, yes. Composed.
I wrote it
Don't
out.
Don't sell him short.
Did you send that to the Library of Congress to copyright it?
I did.
You should. I want to see that chart. It's like, you know, all eighth notes. One all
eighth notes in A. Is it A?
Is everybody like freezing now?
I wrote
in this room?
It. Yes.
You can, my toes are cold.
I'm cold.
I wrote
cold
it down with a quill.
With a quill?
On parchment.
So
you sealed it with wax.
If you try to Jared, if you try to copyright that though, you're going to get a cease and desist from Zuckerberg, and it's going to turn into social media request. Generic social media request.
Can you handle the Facebook stuff, Jared?
Sure.
All right. So what I did is, because it's the first podcast, I was all like shady and stuff, and I told everybody I'm doing something on the internet tonight.
Something internet-y.
Internet-ish or whatever. And we got a few. We actually got a lot of requests. We got probably like 300. Requests for songs, and Muff's gonna basically our selection process is I called you Muff. I'm sorry. You're Jarrett. I call Jarrett Muff. If I do it,
we all
I apologize.
Do sometimes.
Yeah, but
one Jarrett, day we'll tell you the story, but not
one
today.
Yeah, I don't want to go into that right now. But Jarrett, you basically the selection process is it's whatever song you like.
It's the funny thing is that
that's criteria. The selection.
It's funny because as I go through your Facebook, it's like things you post. Your song requests, and then me putting pictures of like, look, you can put stickers in your toilet, and it looks like the Sarlacc pit. Oh my God, look.
Why don't we have that?
Oh,
geek.
God.
I can think of a bunch of reasons, but I'm going to leave it alone. Anyway, if you would like Jarrett to pick your song, please mail 80s memorabilia to...
Your Facebook is so loaded with stuff.
I think that's a whole nother.
I was supposed
show.
To be set up for this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're supposed to prepare this ahead of time, man.
I'm sorry.
What do you do here?
But the Facebook request song is so short. He had no time.
Whatever.
Yes. Okay.
I know what song we're gonna play.
I know
already.
What song
it's
we're
not,
gonna play too. I'm
oh,
trying
I should
to...
set up for that song. Son of a bitch.
Okay.
Well, while you pretend like we're reading this for the first time, I'll set up for the song.
Reading it for the first time. What? This is a fucking music podcast. All of a sudden, Sammy says Katy Perry, and you're like, we got it, and we start playing it. I start doing a Foreigner riff, and I get nothing.
Feels like the first time. That was our wedding song, asshole.
What is that? It sounds like I just hit the demo button on my Casio.
It's something to fill up. It's in G. G. Just hit G, G, G.
Of course, even after all this, I still don't have your list up. I'm going to go by what I remember from earlier. You had a lot of requests for BOC songs, which I'm sure we'll save for when you actually have BOC members as guests on, because that'll be more fun.
Okay, since you failed at your job, the request that we got that we're going to do, that we've practiced and prepared, and that we were going to pretend like we didn't practice, but that cat's out of the bag. Way to go.
You're leaving
no,
all
the cat's at the window.
You're like, do you know what? Let's give a disclaimer. The disclaimer is that a lot of people are giving us requests. Me and Richie have been playing together for a long time. We've been playing together with Amory for a long time, with Phil. So the idea is that your request, one of us might know it, all of us might know it, so we might not really have to learn it right on the spot. So if someone knows it, we could just kind of, you know.
But can I just...
Richie that being said, we're going to learn stuff on the spot.
Yeah,
you know?
Eventually we're going to have to do that.
But Richie has a problem of like peeking, making people look behind the curtain. So you didn't actually have to say that we were like, that we were, oh, we already practiced this song. You're like watching the Avengers and going, they're
nice.
In front of a screen. Listen, I don't want to... The Hulk's not actually there.
All right,
he's in a different room.
Do you really think that 9 or 10 or 11 or however many tracks of Richie there are in that Bohemian Rhapsody video, do you think they all exist? I would die. I would die if there were 20 Richies.
I think Richie wishes they did it.
No, he totally wishes.
Okay.
Again, I would die.
So Richie,
that
since
existed,
you made me look like an asshole on the internet.
Yeah.
What song did we randomly decide to do today?
My friend Keith McGee requested the Logical song.
Who's Keith?
Keith, I work with Keith at American Musical Supply. That's my day job when I'm not playing with Blue Oyster Cult. And I do product demo videos. So you can see my videos on... if you want to see what I do, go to Amazon and type in Arcadia DL38 guitar. And that's like the first video I did. That's it's me playing an acoustic guitar and saying, it's got this wood and this this many frets and all
this
stuff.
What kind of wood did it have?
You
what kind of
wood did it have? Wood.
It had... A spruce top.
Ooh.
Yes,
it's a hard
a mahogany back inside. Ooh. Straight hard grain wood. Mahogany back.
Wow. How about that mahogany, right?
It's a hard wood. Yeah.
Oh,
thick.
No,
I'm sure I'm completely wrong on all those because I have to do like so many of these. But so Keith is a great guitar player. So of course his request was kind of like a stump request.
Because there's not much guitar in this song.
Can you record this, Brandy? Thank you. Let's videotape this and try to put this on the internet. Let's turn the lights up.
Oh, turn the lights up.
And I glow.
Ah. But it's so bright.
There
now.
Goes our mood lighting.
Okay, so we're going to do the Logical song by Supertramp. Little word of warning here. I'm putting a capo. Capo, like a clamp, like Andy's finger before. And except I have a device that does it now. I'm putting it on the first fret. And that's like a descending C chord thing. Whatever that part is. The song is in C minor, right?
I think so. E flat major.
Yeah. Man, I gotta practice this. We don't have a sax player, but I think, Muff, you said you got this covered?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Or Jarrett. Jarrett. God damn it. Jarrett, you have it covered.
Jarrett's got the kazoo. Richie is going to switch off on keyboards and guitar.
I'm
going to
play keyboard and then, because they don't really happen at the same time. Like, it's like. that whole thing, I'm going to do that. I can stop playing keyboard.
Right.
You know, let me get the sustain pedal over here.
You can be honest. We're not actually playing any of these instruments. Yeah, Richie has like cymbals on his knees and a bass drum on his back.
He's that guy you see at Grand Central who's walking around with the drum on his back and the cymbals on his shoulder.
Oh God, we should find somebody who plays bucket drums. That would be so cool.
I love bucket drums.
Okay, so the chords, if you want to play along.
I know this one, so.
Okay, it's
finally.
This song is awesome.
So
I'm
it's
very happy we are
it's
doing this.
C minor. Then it goes A flat, G minor, B flat, A flat, A diminished. And that's the verse. And the chorus is E flat. And then it goes to, all right, that's A half diminished with the E flat in the bass. Or A minor 7 flat 5. Then back to an A flat major 7th. You stay on the E flat in the bass. And then we go to this D flat thing. That's basically the whole song. I mean, there's the ending part that goes to like a C7th. That's the ending, and then it goes to an F minor. Sometimes it goes A flat, but that's it. So if you want to play along to this, you can, and thank you for letting me practice the song really quick while I explained that. That was a nice way of doing that.
We're gonna sneak that practice in there.
Yeah, right? Okay, I'm gonna see if I can make this happen.
All right.
Oh, and also, Amri, can you please sing this?
Yeah.
Good. God damn it. Oh,
I have to go to the bathroom.
No!
Not yet!
Ready, guys?
Don't judge my bladder.
There's a bucket next to your chair for a reason. Sing this song, damn it.
Very astute measure
I think,
you just took.
Yeah.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It seemed that life was so wonderful, a miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, well, they'd be singing so happily, joyfully, playfully watching me. But then they sent me away to teach me how to be sensible, logical, responsible. They
Go for that song. Plus points go for that song because it rhymes the words acceptable, respectable, presentable, and vegetable.
Vegetable.
Let's bring the mood lighting down again, guys. Thank you, Brandy.
You know how hard it is not to laugh at the kazoo?
The kazoo? No.
Yes, I do, actually.
You know what? It takes up less space than a saxophone, so for now, I'll have to do until I get a bigger place to record.
Oh, yeah. So when we get a bigger place to record, that means I'm not going to be able to
play
the kazoo anymore?
You're out of a job.
No, it means you're out.
You're fired.
It means you're out completely.
Oh, wow.
Out. Get out.
Oh, my God.
You call me
get
fat.
Get out.
What is that?
It's from... Well,
that was me burping. X-Men.
I get thought out. You did...
Was that an Arnold... Like, get out. Go.
Yeah, I was trying. I was trying.
Get out. Run.
It's in my heart, but it's not
see
in
you
my
at
vocal
the party,
cords.
Richter.
See you at the party. It's get to the chopper.
See you at the party, Richter.
2 weeks.
Screw
you. You should cosplay as that.
Consider
the fat
the
woman.
The fat woman
with the weird the face.
If you went to Comic-Con as the fat woman from Lethal from Total Recall,
yeah.
it would be fucking awesome.
If somebody cosplayed with me as the chick with three boobs, I'm in.
All right, I'll handle that costume.
You got it. I got the paper mache. You shave your chest.
I thought you did a really good job playing the sax solo there. I thought it sounded pretty spot on.
Not for nothing. The kazoo, even though it's like a simple instrument, like you still have to have like the right notes coming out of your throat.
You have to be a singer.
You're hum.
Yeah. And you have to. I'm sorry. The misnomer is that you have to hum, not blow.
You have to hum.
That's
hum.
What she said.
Yes.
Hum.
Nice.
That is what she said.
Oh.
So. I mean, look, obviously you have musical skills, but I mean, I've known you for over 20 years and I still don't know what they are.
I don't know. I don't have them. I have, like we were saying before, like I can't read music, but I can play by ear and I sing and I did play, you know, I can follow music, but like I have this problem where as a normal musician, you would be like, oh, can we do that in the lower octave? And I'll be like, nope, we can't because I don't know what that sounds like.
But, I mean, that kind of extends to your gear knowledge. I mean, sometimes, like, I've been in music stores with you where you've been, like, I'll go look at an amp, right? And I'll be like, yeah, you know, I don't know if I like this crunch channel. And then the guy from music store will come out to us and be like, yeah, well, you know, this has three channels. And then you will say something like,
oh, yeah, because three channels is what you need, because, you know, when you have two channels.
He'll jump right in there like he knows what he's talking about, and he fools people.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I'm like, he has no fucking idea what he's talking about right now.
That's not even just music. That's anything. That's just like when you're getting your car fixed. It's like, oh, we had to change out your Johnson rod. And I go, oh, yeah, well, the Johnson rod, you know, that wears out after 3 or 4 years.
Seinfeld reference.
That's a Seinfeld reference. But
call you on your Seinfeld reference.
There's a thing, Richie. It's called confidence. And if you, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. If you're confident and you have just confidence behind it.
He just called you a bitch.
He really did. He did. Get off my show.
I like having this drum set.
I don't know if you've heard of it before.
Well, all right, I'm going to test your confidence right now. This is a little bit I like to call What Piece of Gear Is This? No, you have to do. That's not the beginning of this.
Sure it is.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
That's what we're doing? Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I thought we were doing the...
No.
Okay,
Jared
okay, no, no.
Jared has his own theme music.
I didn't rehearse enough for this. Yeah,
I can't work like this.
We had some ideas floating. Do you want to do the other one?
No. You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
What Piece of Gear Is This is brought to you by Castellanos House of Music.
Two locations in Staten Island,
that's
New York.
Right.
Highland Boulevard and Richmond Avenue. You're going into the theme music, but you're not introducing what it is.
There's a pedal in there.
For nothing.
I think. Oh, yeah, that's good. All right, so in this little segment that we're going to do right now is I'm going to test your bullshitting abilities and do it in a musical way.
Can you turn off the lights, Brandy, so I can see what it is?
No, I don't want him to see.
Oh. Turn down.
Okay, so here's
lights.
What I want you to do. All right, guys, play the music again, please.
I'm going to unplug my headphones so I can't hear what
you're
saying.
Okay, I'm going to whisper into the... Muff is in our... Oh, I'm sorry, Jared. Oh, I got to stop doing that. All right, Jared is in our ISO booth now, which is he just took his headphones off and is covering his ears.
In the bathroom.
He's going to the bathroom. Okay, I'm going to whisper the piece of gear.
Right now, I'm holding in front of me a Whirlwind Selector AB Box Pedal. It is a Whirlwind Selector AB Box Pedal.
All right, here you go. What piece of gear is this?
I just want to listen to this. I don't want to describe it. I just want to hear you riff.
No idea. He looks at it weird.
Are you ready? What is that?
Evidently, this is a piece of gear that you...
That was a C demented major. Okay, good. All right, so what do you got there?
Okay, so this is the Whirlwind Selector AB Box. Now, it has both A and B channels.
This is good. Okay, fine. We'll keep the music going.
It has both an A and B channels, because it wouldn't be an AB Box without A and B.
Right.
It has two switches on it. That one says A/B, and the other one says both. So naturally, both of these buttons do the same thing. It has no other discernible writing. It is small and black because, you know, when you're on stage, you want stuff that's dark so the audience doesn't see what you're using. And it has three inputs and outputs. You can use them for either. It doesn't really matter what you plug into which hole because it's all going to come out the same thing.
This is scary.
Oh, am I?
You're actually right.
And it's by the company Whirlwind, which is a very fast company.
All right, give me the gear. All right, I'm gonna.
Was I close? What? No, wait. I know it's a foot pedal because I know.
That's very important of you.
Because most guitarists have
controller.
Things that they have to.
Are you ready? I'm going to grade your assessment. Are you ready?
Okay. Oh.
That sounds promising.
Wow.
Yeah, so, all right. You were like, but you were also. No, you're just. The reason for that. Okay, yes. The thing that you said that you didn't even realize you were right is that you can use it both ways. You can use them as ins and outs.
If there's anything I know, baby, it's how to do things both ways.
Oh, God. So give me this.
You're listening to
Don't
Muffs?
Break my pedal. All right, so this is a
music review.
This is an AB box. So what you do is you plug your guitar into the input, and then you could potentially have two different amplifiers you can use at the same time. And there's two switches. One says A/B, so you could switch between amp, you know, the first amp and the second amp. So this is like if you have like an amp that you love the clean sound, you could keep it on clean, and then you can hit the pedal and go to the dirty amp.
Oh yeah, you want both those sounds.
Thank you.
Does it come with somebody to carry those amps into the gig?
Yeah, yes, your wife. No. Oh. Oh. Hey. No.
Sorry. I don't like. That.
And what he meant by that is women in general.
But it's a true story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What he meant by that was minority women in general.
Oh God.
Oh look, she's voting.
The 70s are over, ladies. Let's
nice.
Let's move past this.
No. All right. Well, I'll finish this first, and then there's a both switch, so you can hit both of them at the same time. But you can use it the other way, where you have two guitars using one amp.
Can I use actual knowledge for a second?
Yes.
Wouldn't it just make more sense to have one switch, and a first switch would be one step would be A, second step would be B, and the third step would be both?
You could do that.
Oh wow!
But this it takes up less space when
you're
do this.
You're not allowed to know that much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, you know why? There's lights on here.
I don't know, Ms. Ridgey. It's a crazy box. It makes your guitar sound all crazy. It makes your guitar go woo, 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 and then it go wow, wow, wow.
All right. All right.
If you're gonna treat me like that,
I'm going to dump out of this this segment.
If you're gonna treat me like that, then that's what I'm gonna say.
Oh God!
Wow.
The reason I said the thing about Amory is because
I'm not comfortable down here anymore.
When we first met, Amory used to load my car for me, and that's when I decided to marry her.
Yeah, she did.
That's not when you decided to marry me.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Oh, that's creepy. I was like 18.
When did you decide
to?
And Amory is now 19 years old. How? When did you? Let's go out.
I've been 19 for about 8 years now.
When did you decide to marry Anne-Marie? What was the deciding factor?
I could tell you because there was definitely one. Her father has a lot of money. And, this room that we're in right now during a Hurricane Irene was underwater, and I was away. I was playing a gig.
You were playing a gig I was supposed to play.
Yeah.
And I gave it to you because I was like, oh man, I'm kind of sick and like, I'm really, really sick. I got to go work. Man, just do this gig. It'll really help me out.
So,
and
at the end of the gig, I get I get like 75 missed phone calls.
No, the Mariners Harbor gig. The
do you remember the gig we did with Danny Miranda?
That's right.
Do you remember when I called, when we were playing that
the
gig?
You played on the waterfront.
And we started playing like, Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel, and there was a guy in the audience that looked like Billy Joel, and I said, hey, we're playing your song, and you wrote this, and I like, pointed to the guy. So,
and I was so sick, and I finally got home from work, and I go to open up my door, and I look to my left, and I'm just like deliriously sick. I look to my left, and I see like about 4 feet of water sitting against my garage door. All right, maybe it was 2.5, but it's 4 feet for this story.
You guys were living together before you married in sin?
Yes.
What? That's not what you do.
So I got all these missed calls. I called her. She's like, why haven't you picked up your phone? The basement's underwater. It's flooding. It's horrible. And
so I walk in the door. I literally drop everything. I drop my keys. Yeah. I drop my purse. And I don't drop my purse anywhere because I know what's on the floor.
Yeah.
And I drop my purse. I run inside and I see your guitars floating. And there's about 7 to 8 inches of water just like completely covering the place where we're sitting.
But
right
let me tell you what.
I
what
thought you were in bed sick.
No, she was working.
I just
working,
got home from work.
And then she had a gig and she turned the gig down.
I had to go to work
sick.
Anyway sick because that's how it'd be.
So here's the thing. I spoke to her. She's like, basement's underwater. I'm like, oh shit, I'm coming home right away. And she goes, listen, first thing I did was I unplugged your computer and I took it upstairs. Then I got all the guitars out of there and then I got the amps. I'm like, oh my God, she knows the right order of operations.
It's like math. I failed math in high school, but I got that right.
I love this girl. I love this girl. She knows save the computer first because that's all the work I've been doing. And if that is fried, I'm screwed.
You can
right?
always get another guitar.
Yeah. Save the guitars because they're ready. And the amp, if the cabinet gets wet, it's kind of okay.
That
you know?
Being said, the bass amp that Phyllis is playing out of right now, I dumped about 2.5 gallons of water out of it.
Yeah, it sounds like sort of like, you know, chorus-y. It's got that, like, you know, sort of
yeah, that's not the kind of amp I would use, but, you know, it's fine.
Oh, God.
So water is bad for guitars. That's what you're saying.
So enjoy your last show, Phil. I hope you had a good time, Phil, while you were on here.
Both Phil and me have both been kicked out of the show today. Yeah, we're going to start a rival podcast called Music Nerd. So she took everything out of the basement in the right order, and yeah, then you immediately went to
continue playing. So just I
went
the
to
way
get my
are.
Marriage license. At yes. that point. I went to her father's house and asked for permission to marry her. No, yeah. So that was when I knew. I said, okay.
But you slayed a goat on the way over.
Yeah. So yeah, that did it for me, and we got married in October.
I would have
just married her.
The second time it flooded, though. Oh, yeah, well, cats are back.
It happened again.
It happened again. Yeah. I think that's the day you decided you were going to marry me. Because
well, that's the day. I wasn't 100% convinced the first time, but then she did it again.
The
so
second
I,
time.
At that point, I kind of had to.
The second time you were in California with BMC.
No, I remember this. The second time, we were with BOC in Canada, and we didn't get picked
Canada?
Up.
Canada?
Oh, no, it was heaven on earth. We didn't get picked up at the airport. There was some mistake. So we had to go into town and get a hotel, and it was like the most beautiful day.
Was that Kimura?
You told me it was like fucking yeah. like 72
me,
degrees and
me
sunny.
Me and Jules and like Rudy and
it was August.
And Don were all by the pool, and I got a sunburn.
So
and meanwhile, we were like hanging out
so
by the pool on a day off.
That was Irene. Oh,
okay.
At my parents' house, I remember looking at we were out of power, and all I saw was
me and Jules are drinking like
no Irene was insane. But the second flood, I was like, really, guys, really.
Me and Jules
really?
Were drinking. I was getting
no. That
a
was
sunburn.
Irene. You're right. That was Hurricane Irene. The first flood was just massive
That's
amounts
right,
of rain. Because we had just stupid amounts of snow.
I just like thinking about BOC in Canada, just them going, "Oh yeah, eh, that Reaper's a bad fella."
it's a real. I'm gonna be honest.
Came home with sun
poisoning. Yeah, I came home with a sunburn. We were hanging out by the pool. It was awesome.
I remember seeing all the news footage for that, and I promptly went to the liquor store and I bought myself a bottle of wine, and I braced myself because I was like, this is not going to end well. So I preemptively brought all the subwoofers upstairs. And let me tell you, I am 5 feet tall. To carry a subwoofer up a flight of probably 13 to 14 stairs, that's no easy task when you're by yourself. So I drank half the bottle of wine.
That time?
I was by myself. I called you guys when the water started coming in. Now, Philip lives around the corner from me, so I get your squinty eyes. I see your squinty eyes, and I raise you one. I did this all by myself until the water started coming in, and I was like, Philip, help,
that's
Philip,
more like
help.
Philip is very handy. Philip actually works on my guitars. I mean, I talked about Philip being a good musician, but I didn't really... Phil, whenever we have a problem, we call Phil, and he comes over, and Phil helped me build my studio. He helped me pull this stuff together. He has no idea what any of this stuff does, but he helped me put it together.
Yeah.
So Phil actually works on all of my guitars that I use with BOC. So let's rack Phil's brain for a second. Here we go.
Time for Phillip's Tech Tip.
Tech Tip! So this is Phillip's Tech Tips.
Why, hello.
Oh, God. Are you going to keep doing
no,
this?
No, no, I'm done. Okay. What do we want to learn about
every
today?
Time we introduce you for something, it just sounds like you want to blow the microphone. You're like, hey, what's going on over here? I'm going to just put my lips really close to you.
That's okay, really good for singing, though, guys. Okay, continue.
That's Emery's. So
Emery's vocal tip. No one cares. Okay, go talk about gear,
okay,
Phil.
I want to talk about floating tremolo guitars and changing strings. If you're not doing a setup... When you're changing your strings on your floating tremolo, best to do it one string at a time.
Why are you talking like
this? Now could you say it
well,
without
that was great. Leave him alone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He's using your presentation.
I love you for you.
Is
go.
Perfect.
Well, yes, if you're changing strings in a floating tremolo, best to do it one at a time. I have a problem with speaking fast, and I'm trying not to speak fast.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I have the same problem.
So, I'm trying to talk slowly.
Don't worry, I'm on Craigslist saying bass player wanted.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay, continue.
No, I'm good. I'm done. I'm done with this.
I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. All
right.
That.
I'll help you out here, Phil.
Floating tremolos?
I'll finish it.
Tremolos.
No, don't let Jared finish it.
I'll
okay?
finish your tech tip. When you're changing your tremolos, what you want to do is...
That's already wrong.
When you're changing your strings, what you want to do is start from the bottom up because you want to change it one string at a time.
Okay, hold on. That's how they all right, no, like that's a good tip. That's a really good tip. I mean, floating tremolo, if you're not a guitar player, whammy bar thing, that's a tremolo. And what happens if you take all the strings off?
If you take all the strings off, the strings in the back will come off and your bridge will just be loose, or it could dent your guitar and it could break.
I told you a story about when I did that. Yeah. I got a Floyd Rose floating tremolo guitar. Yeah, and I took all the strings off and the bridge popped off the guitar and I started crying.
So you want to do
I was 22.
One string at a time.
If you don't want to cry, follow.
Yeah, listen to Phil. Yeah. Don't do what I did. Listen to Phil.
And also, you want to try and use the same string gauge if you can. Because if you're using a different string gauge, it'll throw your springs out of whack and your bridge will lift or sink. And
then but you can adjust that.
You can adjust that in the back, but it's a pain. It can be a pain.
Now, do you
sometimes.
Adjust that before or after you change the string?
After.
Yeah, you gotta adjust for the new tension.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't see any difference between what he's saying and what I was saying. He's like, you want to use the same gauge of the gauge that you're using? Like, I can. That's easy.
And that's just his voice. Is this what he sounds like?
Somebody give me a guitar. I'm gonna change the strings right now.
Oh my god, that would be a great video.
Next time.
Next time.
Sorry, give me a guitar. No one cares about.
Not my guitar. Not my guitar.
Give all me right. a Daisy
and
rock,
that was and Phil's tech tip.
That was Phil's tech tip. And Shandy cut you short. He's a dick.
No, it's fine because we're, you know, we're...
Oh, yeah, we're almost
we're
done.
Toasty. Right.
Let's do a segment I like to call, or actually, it's called... I got to give everybody their note to sing. this is not subtle. Everybody's like, Andy's pointing at my guitar. Huh, what note am I supposed to sing?
just play the ending chord. There you go.
Okay, right. We good? Yeah, we're going to sing this? I'll edit this out later, don't worry. This is called, I'll just say, I'll do it first. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Band Geek Conquers!
This is called Band Geek Conquers. And what we do is we take another Facebook request.
Oh my God, look at all the requests. Oh my God, there's so many. Look at this song that we're going to scroll up. Hey, let's do Carry On My Wayward Song.
Good idea.
Oh, wow.
Which was suggested not for nothing by your dad.
Is Bangy okay. Conquered the vocally challenging request?
Is well, I find, is? I know what, I think what we should do with Bangy Conquers is take like one sort of interesting part of a song and dissect it. Because it would take, it would be kind of boring to do the whole song.
Right.
So, and I can give like a brief, you know, overview of the whole song. But the thing that I find like the most catchy about, or the thing that like draws me into Carry On My Wayward Son, I mean, there's great riffs, but I really like that opening three-part harmony. That's just awesome. So
teach us how to do it, Richie.
You know how to do it, but I'm gonna.
Why don't you just give everybody their like, notes?
So yeah, I'll tell everybody their notes are. So if you ever wanted to know what the individual notes to Carry On My Wayward Son are, there's three parts. It's an A minor, and the melody is the high part, but it's actually the easiest part to wrap your head around because it's the melody. So that's Carry On My Wayward Son.
Is that me?
Yeah, it's Amory who has the high voice.
Carry on my wayward son.
There'll be peace when
you are done.
Yeah, keep going.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Okay, so that's the high part. The middle part, I'll give to Andy because Andy sings higher than me. And and that starts on, so Amory's part started on the E, which is the third, which is the fifth of the A minor chord. And now Andy's part will start on the third, which is Carry On My Wayward Son. There'll be peace when you are done.
Right.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. Great. And my part is Carry On My Wayward Son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. And so, and I start on the root.
And then there's a bunch of really awesome riffs. So do we feel comfortable doing this whole song?
What sure. is my, what's my, when we get to the middle where it's like, Harry, what's my
number? Oh shit. Yeah. Okay. So you sing the verse.
I know I sing the first
I'll sing
verse,
the
I got
second
that.
Verse. You sing all the middle stuff, Anne-Marie. Okay. So
the high
that,
stuff?
Yeah.
You okay. will always. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
but then, what are those notes?
Carry on. Are you going
carry on?
I can do the high part.
Carry on.
Carry on.
You do that? Carry. 1, 2, 3, 4. Carry on. And you go, carry on.
Carry on.
Try that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Carry on. Yeah. Carry on. Oh, it's your part. I'm sorry. Okay. Carry on. I got it. Okay.
Carry on.
We feel good?
I think we feel.
Carry on. Who's singing the lowest part?
Jarrett.
Carry on.
Carry on.
Carry on. That's going to be tough, right? I got it. No problem.
Carry on. Do you want me to sing with you?
No. Okay.
Nothing equals the splendor.
Oh, I need the word. Can you flip the yeah, stand yeah. around when it's... Yeah.
Really?
When it's your turn, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
And we should just preface this, too, right before we go into it, because this is the last thing we're doing on this show. Mm-hmm. We will, you know, like weekly take requests and you know, ask you guys what you want to hear. But
oh, yeah.
We actually may start doing like theme weeks and stuff like that. So oh, it's yeah. going to get a little crazy after a while. But
yeah, we're going to, I mean, I want to have like a nice balance of themed shows and interview shows. I mean, I think we should do a couple just to get into the groove here.
Yeah.
And then we'll do themed shows. Like, you know, maybe we'll do a Beatles show or maybe we'll do some like weird stuff. Like maybe a show where Muff plays a... saxophone songs on kazoo. I kind of like that idea.
Well, I mean, but just like keep your, if you're listening, keep your eye on Richie's Facebook, Richie Castellano on Facebook, and then what's your Twitter?
Rich_Castellano.
So keep your eye on there because we'll be definitely reaching out to you guys when we start doing a lot more of these.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So stay tuned for more.
Yeah, stay tuned. Same music same time. Same all right, music
I
channel.
I got Dungeons and Dragons in like 2 hours. Can we go?
Oh, wow. My God.
I'm just kidding.
Am I taking the high part the whole time? Just the
yeah.
highest.
All right. I'm going to stand.
Hey, now.
Okay. Yeah, I want to rock out a little bit on this.
All right.
This is what it sounds like when you just...
You know what, I'm going to lower my strap like a man.
Oh. Wow.
Watch wow. this. All
what?
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
That's what manly riffs sound like.
Is
That's
this okay fine. When
That's
I turn it around?
Stuff. Okay.
It's good stuff.
Here we go.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high.
Which he loves that.
Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say,
carry on my way. Son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Carry on.
My charade is the event of the season. And if I claim to be a wise man, it surely means that I don't know. On a stormy sea of moving emotion, toss about them like a ship on the ocean. I'll set a course for winds of fortune, but I hear the voices say,
carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. Go!
This has been the Premier Band Geek Podcast. See you next time.